It's time for Carl's favorite show. It's his favorite show.
Yeah, sure.
Echo. Echo. It's Carl's favorite show.
Speaking of echoes, this fun tangent story just reminded me of the word echo. So my almost 3-year-old, when if I ever take him into the grocery store at Foodland, if you walk into the back of Foodland, there's the long hall beside the dance studio, and it echoes.
Food Basics. And it's like, you're going in the back of Foodland? What's
and it echoes if you're loud.
Sure.
And he'll go, "Hello, grocery store."
Do you know what's so crazy? You know how long I've been away?
You missed both my boys' birth.
I've never heard him talk.
Really?
Yeah, I've never heard his voice.
I'll have to rectify that at some time.
Hello and welcome to the Movie Men Podcast.
We are the B-Team.
My name's Brady.
I'm Carl.
And it's Echo Season 1, Episode 4. Before we jump in.
Let the good times continue. You know what? I think this is the first show we've done where I'm the one that is disliking it more than you. I can't think of another one.
What shows have we done?
A lot of Disney shows, a lot of Marvel shows.
Marvel shows. And Star Wars.
A few Star Wars, yeah.
We did Andor. We did Loki Season 2.
If we're not on the same page, usually I'm a more positive spin on the show than you are.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, so. I feel like I'm in the defense chair right now. Alaquia Cox, I'm probably mispronouncing that. Is the actress that plays Maya Lopez in this show. Echo. This is, I've done a little bit of like
some sleuthing
follow-up stuff here. So Maya's or Alaquia's acting credits are Hawkeye in this. So this is it. She's only ever played Maya Lopez. And I will say, all things aside, bravo. Like, for being her first acting thing. Yeah,
she's probably got minor credits that IMDb doesn't care about.
Maybe. But here's the thing. She was born in 1997, so she's 21. No, that's not how that math works. She's like...
Good job there.
She's like 27 or so, late 20s. Was born near deaf, and so she, like, you know, hence her proficiency in sign language and stuff. Very interesting. I'm guessing that many of the others have had to learn, right? Like, the other actors and stuff in the show that are communicating with her, like, that's, I don't know, that's impressive.
Minus Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yep.
Almost said Willem Dafoe.
So you find this girl, right? She auditions. You're looking for a Native American. She's Native American. You're probably looking for someone, maybe, you know, on your radar is someone who's deaf or near deaf or, you know, it's part of the character. So it doesn't need to be someone, but maybe that was on their checklist. And then they found her. And they were very happy with her, obviously, because they cast her.
Yeah.
She is on one leg, amputated below the knee. Mm-hmm. So that is, because remember we were talking about like why, we were trying to figure out why they did that.
Yeah, end of our conversation, and I talked about a video I had watched. Did you watch that whole video?
No.
Yeah.
No, but she is, yeah. So she is herself an amputee. Mm-hmm. And so that just explains You know,
it's a good as
like
reason.
Instead of trying to hide it, like they could have hid it, I guess. But instead of trying to hide it, they're like, "Oh, let's embrace it. Make it a part of, make a part of you, a part of the character, right?" Yeah. So you have that extra level of ownership over it. Anyways, jumping into our episode, Carl's stoked.
Oh yeah, let's get this going on.
It's the first episode that we've sat and watched together.
Yeah, because Someone didn't do their homework.
Did that?
The last news show, I was like, did you watch it? And you said, no. And I was like, I think I seen it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean,
because so far it's been pretty forgettable for me.
And then we sat down to record it and you're like, oh no, I haven't seen this.
Yeah.
No. So then we went and watched it.
Yeah.
Did that affect the, does it raise the bar a little bit or the enjoyment level?
Because I watched it with you?
Yeah. Because, you know, there was a camaraderie.
I mean, it was fun just like sitting down, hanging out and watching a film.
Right.
Because, I mean, it's been a long time since we, I mean, aside from going to the theater to watch a horrible film.
You're about to get damn sick of that, though. You're going to get so sick of watching films together.
I like hanging out with my friends.
My boys.
I think it's good times coming forward.
Yeah. I'm stoked. You're coming over next week. We're going to watch Madam Web.
Yeah. Stoked for that one.
I'll provide a couch, a TV, a sound system. You'll bring beer. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
excuse me.
We're going to need beer for that one.
To get through Madam Web.
The saving grace I've heard of, we're off topic already. The saving grace I've heard about that is that, like, this is the kindest thing I've heard of, about that film, is that it will become a cult classic that you watch because it's so bad, akin to The Room.
There's nothing wrong with that. All right.
It's not why The Room was made either.
Jumping into the episode. I'm just going to pull it up here.
Do a little time jump.
Yeah.
A little time jump backwards. To little kiddo Maya.
Let me pull up the episode here so I can kind of scrub through it. The idea, I think I was telling you about this, and the listener doesn't know what the hell I'm talking about. But up on the wall here, there's an idea of there being a screen.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
There, and we can scrub through things that way. Okay, so yeah, so things start off, and Maya's a little girl. It's a flashback. Maya's a little girl. She wants ice cream from the guy with the ice cream trolley. And it's kind of a rinky-dink, sad ice cream trolley.
Yeah.
Doesn't even have an umbrella on it, but that's neither here nor there.
No.
Doesn't even
look like it's got a bell.
And the guy, like, she's clearly signing.
Yeah. She's even just kind of, like, basic gesturing,
yeah.
It seems like. Like, I want that one.
Yeah.
Which, this guy seems like an idiot.
Well, he's a dick.
He's being an idiot.
Yeah. And he's like, use your words. And he's like using his hands to like gesture at her. And of course, Kingpin is sitting in the back of the limo or the town car or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And he's,
instead of
seeing all this,
being a normal human and getting out and
coming and helping,
advocating and helping, he just sits there and stews.
Yeah. And then so Maya gets back into the car and Kingpin's like, hold on a second, Maya. Uncle, it was horrible.
Go take care of business. Yeah,
Uncle has to go take care of business. I'll be right back. And so then he goes.
Batman.
And so then he goes, wow, it's same thing. Can you imagine the bat suit on that physique? That's like full on like Dark Knight Returns.
Oh, man.
Fat bat, kind of. Anyway, so he goes and he takes the ice cream guy down the alley and
proceeds to
beat the shit out of him.
Bloody him up real good.
I'm pretty sure kills him.
Oh, if he's not dead, he's going to be eaten out of a tube for a while.
Yeah, he's brain dead. And
definitely a concussion.
And then he goes to hop on the phone and he's like, yeah, I need another suit jacket because I don't want Maya to see. And then
Maya's right there.
Maya's in the alley, at the end of the alley, and she's seen Fisk beat this guy to death. And he has a little bit of internal panic.
Yeah.
Because he's like, well, shit. And then he says to Maya, please don't be scared. Don't be afraid. And Maya comes like skipping down the alley up to the dead ice cream guy and starts gleefully kicking the dead body.
Yeah.
To which Fisk has a sense of relief and like
pride. Yeah.
And they hold hands and they walk out the... And so all that to say, the award for the worst adopted father of the year award goes to Uncle Wilson Fisk. Because holy shit.
Yeah.
So she got crooked young.
Well,
she's got issues.
This is, man. So one of my beefs has been that she's not an endearing character. Right. I've said like,
right. She's not like, you don't think she's likable.
She's not like up till now, she doesn't give a crap if her family gets hurt or involved in some way.
Right.
And if they get caught in the crossfire, the whole thing with the train and the cousin, Biscuit, was it Biscuit? Strudel?
Oh, the cousin, Biscuit?
French toast?
It's not Biscuit.
Anyway, like, yeah, she doesn't care if he gets hurt in the crossfire. She's dragging this innocent.
Biscuits.
Dragging this innocent family member.
Yeah.
Not just not just some Joe henchman, but like family member into the crossfire potentially and no care for them.
The guy that plays Biscuits.
And this scene does not help with that image. Like, it does not make her any more endearing. In fact, it makes her less endearing because she's a dick from day one.
The guy that plays Biscuits, his real birth name, not stage name, because I'm looking Biscuits at like the name of his parents and stuff as well, and everything lines up. His real birth name is Cody Lightning.
That's freaking odd. Can you imagine having the last name Lightning?
That's so good.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's so good.
Anyway, this scene does not make me like her more. If the show's goal is to make me care about her plight, it's not doing a very good job.
Well, some of this is like the nurture versus nature thing, right? And so like an argument could be made that Maya is a victim of her upbringing, is a victim of the circumstances with which she's been raised.
Sure.
Right? She wouldn't have turned out this way.
I don't disagree with that point.
So then we move on to a brief and kind of useless scene. I don't really understand the point of it, which is just, you know, we jump forward to 2021 and it's Fisk basically having, I guess what they're doing is they're setting up the Sunday family dinner. Is essentially what this
is. They're setting up the Sunday family dinner, and they're setting up the line for Fisk to use later that they can only depend on each other.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And kind of enforcing that by offing the the interpreter.
So they have a conversation where he basically says, like, hey, you know, your tutelage is over, he says. And you're ready to move from the theoretical into the practical, right? Your training is over. I'm going to start sending you out to kill people, right? And she seems all like, I don't know, honored, right? Like, daddy's proud. And so that happens. Excuse me. Hang on. I got a frog. And then, yeah, they kill the interpreter for reasons that, you know, I guess.
Because he's Wilson Fisk.
And she knows too much or, you know, whatever that may be. And then we get the title card. And then sort of a lengthy scene both outside and inside the house where it's picking up from the last scene of the last episode.
Yeah.
Right? Where Fisk reveals himself to be alive to present day Maya. We get to see some really cool tech, which is, so she's wearing a contact.
Yeah.
That allows her to see a VR or like an augmented reality sign language.
Yeah.
Of the words he's saying. And he's wearing a contact.
Presumably. We don't see it go in, but it's
no, but
it makes
sense. I don't know how else. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then he's wearing a contact that is seeing her sign language and interpreting it into English to an earbud that's in his ear.
Yeah.
So that they can talk.
Yeah, without an interpreter.
And the thing I thought of when I saw this, which is something that comes up again later in this episode, Maya makes a big deal out of it. I'm like, just friggin' learn sign language, man. Like, you supposedly, I don't know where I stand on the debate of how Fisk, like, I don't know if he's just playing her this whole time. I don't know if she's a means to an end. I don't know if she's just an asset or if he's actually fallen for this little girl as like one of his children.
You don't?
I don't know. I don't know if he loves her or not.
Remind me again, how much of Daredevil have you watched?
Like all but the last season.
I'm trying to remember how much Vanessa plays into the last season. She's a pretty big part of the first season, though, so I'm assuming probably quite a bit. Oh, he's already in jail in the third season, so or fourth, second. Is he in jail in the second season? Anyway, if you recall back to Daredevil, he is prone to attachment.
Oh, for sure.
Right? Like Vanessa is his world.
Yes.
Which part of me is bothered by this? Like, if this is the same Kingpin we've seen in Daredevil, which they're saying it is, then...
Sorry, I had a little bit of bullshit caught in my throat there for a second.
Then where's Vanessa in all this? Vanessa would be part of Sunday dinners. Vanessa would be involved in some aspect, unless she was snapped, and that's why we don't see her at the family dinner, and that's why he's... I mean, I would assume he has grown attached to her genuinely as a kid growing up and then just kind of utilizing her skills and seeing himself as a mentor and father figure. And depending on whatever happened with Vanessa there, whether she's still overseas where he sent her or she got snapped or whatever, that would probably only, I think, intensify Kingpin's desire to need some sort of kind of connection with somebody.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm looking it up quick to see if the internet has any theories. I'm not seeing anything. Yeah, I don't know. It's why the whole idea of suddenly canonizing the Daredevil show is stupid.
Oh, I think it still makes sense and is great. if you forget everything we're watching in Echo.
Yeah, but that doesn't work because this clearly is camp. Anyways.
Yeah, I know this is now camp, but like this episode more than the rest, because finally we're getting some Kingpin.
Yeah.
Feels like this whole, these five episodes, all they're here for is to set up Kingpin to do something for us in Daredevil.
Yes.
Which just makes me go, and I've said this once already in the Echo series, just give me a Kingpin show.
I know. I still think that would be boring, but
it would be better than this.
Anyways.
Like, give us Hawkeye. He gets shot in the face. Have a five episode Kingpin show about him recovering, hunting down Echo for, I don't know, vengeance or whatever, clear the water, forget the whole Echo thing, and maybe even whatever you want to do with him in Daredevil, give him. In my mind, it makes more sense to just focus on Kingpin. Why are we messing around with this half-rate antagonist?
Dude, if you hit the table one more time, from now on, you're going to be pod... You know when you see the guest on a podcast and they're like... There's like the desk, right, where the podcast host is sitting at?
Yeah.
And then there's like a couch or a chair... An armchair,
yeah.
That the other guy's sitting in on like the opposite end of the room,
yeah.
With a microphone that he's not allowed to touch. Like, you're fast tracking yourself to straitjacket.
I'd like to sit on a couch. Can we get a couch in here?
If you,
it's not a lot of room for a couch in here.
Well, I mean, it would have to go.
If we flip flop spots and the couch was over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, find a love seat.
I got one in my office that would work, but that one's for the office.
Give it. This is the office now. Anyways, so they have this conversation back and forth, and it's kind of just a lot of, I told you that I'm the only one that you can trust, and
it's
you know, like,
what's,
and she's like, what the hell, and he's like, oh, you know, what.
It's.
I can tell you didn't want me dead, and she's like, "No, trust me."
It's the payoff for the exposition we literally just got.
Yes, yeah, and so they kind of have this conversation back and forth. It doesn't end super well, but Fisk basically says, "Look, this is where I'm staying. If you like, I'm staying at this casino. I have a room at the casino. I'm leaving on the weekend." I want you on that plane, and I will give you, like, I understand that you want an empire. I'll give it to you. I'll give you everything. It's all yours. You just got to come back home with me. And that's it. And he gets up and he leaves. Then Maya goes and talks to Henry at the roller skating rink, which is still in a little bit of disrepair. It's closed for renovations following... You know, the guy that cleans his skates, holding them hostage and trying to kill them. And she sort of explains, like, she brings him up to speed on the dinner that they had. She explains the situation to him, and he rightfully asks, you can't be that. Please tell me you're not that dumb.
Yeah.
Right? He's not going to give it to you.
Yeah. So part of me's... I think that's where he was, what he is saying. Like, Kingpin's not going to do that for you. Part of me would, initially, I was just like, oh, he's saying running a criminal empire is, even though you can do it, is dangerous, dirty, and lonely.
I think it's a bit of both. I think it's a bit of both. I think maybe what he's saying is the dangerous, dirty, and lonely part. But I also don't think there's any way. It doesn't matter how Kingpin feels about Maya. Kingpin's not giving his empire to her. He may leave it to her. But while Kingpin still draws breath, he's not giving up being the kingpin.
Yeah.
Right? It's not going to happen.
Which, yeah, we kind of see in a later episode. Or, not episode, later scene.
So, excuse me. So, then we cut to the powwow that we've seen teased in several episodes leading up to this. And
nice looking powwow.
Grandmama is there and has a vision very similar to the visions that we've been seeing Maya have.
Right.
And it looks like simultaneously Maya's having those visions. And Henry freaks the F out and takes Maya to Grandmama's house.
Because unlike Grandma, Maya is going almost comatose through because of these visions at this moment.
So he takes her to go see her, kicks her out of the car. She goes in. She has a chat with her long-lost, estranged grandmother. And the grandmother asks her a couple of questions about, you know, what is it you're seeing? What is, you know, whatever. This is a painful scene. I'm going to be honest. It's a painful scene. Largely, I think, because the woman playing the grandmother, I don't think, is very good in this scene.
Yeah, her acting, you mean?
I think the acting falls real flat. But she basically explains that what Maya is, she fails to mention, hey, 20 minutes ago I saw the same damn thing. But what she does say is that those are the same things that she saw the day that Maya's mother was born. And she tells this really drawn out, could have trimmed the fat there, Grandma, kind of story about how, you know, she was in the hospital, there was complications, the doctor said there was not really anything they could do, and it was just kind of up to God. And then her family, against doctor's orders, take Grandma out of the hospital.
Back into the woods.
Into the woods.
Doing this old school.
And there's a midwife there, and
there's a trained professional.
Trained professional, and a bit of wood to bite down on, and you know, and she stole the hospital gown though. So
good on her.
Good on her. And she basically says that, you know, it was a life or death situation, and Maya's mother was not going to make it, but then the ancestors
did some
manifested
magic.
and ensured Maya's mother's safe delivery. And then Maya's grandmother goes on a little bit of like the generations are echoing and stuff like that. And you can tell that Maya's pretty disillusioned with all of it. Maya's mindset here is, you disowned me. You kicked me out of your life. I think Maya thinks that Grandma is a bit of a zealot. I think Grandma is a bit of a zealot. Rightfully so. And maybe accurately, right? Like maybe she's...
Well, I don't know if she's a zealot. Like she knows that Maya's dad was into some bad stuff. She's not wanting her daughter or granddaughter to be a part of that. I don't think makes her a zealot. And then the whole, it's kind of a trope, but it's also kind of a real world thing, I think, too, where, you know, like her daughter dies, granddaughter looks a lot like
daughter, for sure.
And like wanting to distance from daughter because it's too hard to see. That's a trope that movies play into a decent amount.
Well, I think it's a real life,
but it's thing. It's definitely a bit of a real life thing. And I would say in some cases too, but I don't know if I go as far to call her a zealot.
Well, I mean, she's religiously zealous, right? Like she's a firm believer in this ancestor stuff. Oh, she's a firm,
okay. I see.
And is not putting like a
right from wrong zealot. She's
no, like a
spiritual belief.
Spiritual zealot. Yeah. And it seems like everything that Grandma's going on about is probably true. And there is some ancestral magic, and there is, you know, despite the fact that, you know, and I'm kind of hating on it now too, despite the fact that we have once seen Maya, I don't know, channel some ancestral whatever and gain superhuman strength.
Twice.
What was the second time? The first time was the train.
First time was the train, and we got the beginning of the show thing about ancestor being strong in the sports thing.
Right.
And then the second thing was the shooting. She's just uncannily accurate with shooting.
Maya is.
Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, the actual, like, my hands are glowing, some sort of power is happening inside of me. We've seen one real demonstration of that.
With the strength thing, I guess. Yeah. She's seen her hands glow outside of that one other time, though, I think. Didn't she?
Maybe.
Like she woke up from a dream or something, her hands were glowing. I don't know.
So their conversation kind of wraps up. And she just walks out on Grandma.
Yeah. So I don't think Maya is completely wrong in her anger here.
Oh, no, she's not.
But she's also being a whiny, selfish person, just like she's calling Grandma.
They're both in the wrong.
Yeah, she's calling Grandma, you're selfish. All you're doing is thinking about you. All you're doing is thinking about you.
Yeah.
Like, your point is like, you're pointing fingers, but you got three more pointing back at you. Like, yeah, she's... Yeah, got a point, but not in the clear.
I just read something. I'll end the episode with that. So then Maya goes to the casino where Fisk is staying.
Are you just gonna gloss over the junkyard scene?
I mean, we can't. So Biscuits is in like a completely random, has nothing to do with anything for the rest of the episode. Biscuits is still trying to fix Grandma's truck, and there's a Lion King reference. Everything, you know,
everything like, in the junkyard is yours. Yeah,
everything the light touches is yours. He's like, isn't that from Lion King?
Kind of, sort of.
Maya goes to kill Fisk, and Fisk basically pleads for his life. Oh, Maya, I've always loved you, and you know, whatever. But then does this whole big sob story about how his father was abusive to his mother and was abusive to him. And so one day he took this hammer and killed his dad, and then hands Maya the hammer and is like, so now kill me, set yourself free. And Maya's like, I'm not playing your mind games. Fist, because it is, the whole thing feels like a big mind game.
I don't think it's a complete mind game. I think he's like,
I think he's telling the truth.
He's willing to in his mind, I think he's giving an opportunity that he thinks will set her free, give her the keys to the kingdom, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's a complete sob story. Like, he, From minute one, he knows and he assumed she would come to kill him. He planned, okay, if she's going to kill me, I'll let her do that. And I'll give her what she wants, and I'll free her from me and give her the keys to the kingdom that she wants. And also, there's a quick line here when he's like, she's got the hammer, and he's like, do it, free yourself. And then he says, free me. Which seemed like an odd line to me, but I don't know if he wants free from his life or from the current situation, but doesn't seem like a very kingpin thing to say. I don't know. This show is doing, in my opinion, this show is just doing the kingpin character a huge disservice.
So she throws the hammer down. And she puts the hammer down, and the hammer comes down, And she goes and stands by a lake and reminisces about all of the things that have happened in the show so far. And then we see Fisk sitting on a plane and he gets a phone call that, hey, we, you know, she skipped town on her bike and she's gone. And Fisk freaks out and punches the adjacent seat in his private jet. Not a very big private jet for Wilson Fisk.
Yeah.
A little surprised. A little small. Little dinky.
Yeah, maybe it was all
this is a tough year.
Maybe it's all maybe it's one in his collection and it's the one he had to take because that's as big as the airport would allow.
Could be. Could be. And that's the episode. Carl, was this episode a win or a fail for you?
It's another fail. Like, okay. What really happened here? What did we accomplish?
Nothing. Very little.
Nothing.
Very little.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
We got some exposition.
We got some exposition, which was quickly paid off.
Yeah.
Almost immediately.
And then we got some additional exposition about the birth of Maya's mother.
Yeah. And a little bit about a little bit more about where the powers or whatever, maybe, I guess, that you could infer some more stuff.
Yeah.
But like, I get the feeling you could watch this episode. You should watch this show, skip episode 4, go right to 5, and not miss anything.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my, what is this? Why? Why are we doing this?
Because it's what we do.
I feel like, we just recorded the news show. In the news show, we talked about how Disney is like axing a whole bunch of projects that are going to be made in the process of being made and potentially the ones that are already finished.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if Bob Iger had got back in his chair sooner, this would have ended up being one of those projects.
Maybe.
Like, why are we doing, like, yeah. Why? Why yeah. are we doing this 5-episode series?
Okay.
Like, it's not good. Did you enjoy it?
It's a fail for me. And the reason it's a fail for me is because we have one episode left and it is the shortest episode of all 5 episodes, as seems to be the case with it, the trend.
Everything gets shorter.
The trend is these series start off strong. And you didn't think this one started off strong, no. But I did. But they always start off strong and then get worse and worse and worse. And then in the 11th hour, we have one episode left to go. It's the shortest episode. And we're sitting there going into the final episode going, I don't know how you wrap this up in a satisfying way. Like, what is there to do? Like, I don't.
Kingpin goes home. Maya does nothing. The end.
What if she kills him? Knowing that we have the Daredevil series coming, what if she just kills him?
That would be horrible for the Daredevil series.
Well, we also don't know when the Daredevil series is set.
I suppose.
Right? So it could be before this. I don't know. Anyways, I'm going to say this one's a fail for me. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I do want to read this to you, though.
Sure.
You know how every small town or area or what a city will have like a super swap or a buy sell swap Facebook group?
Sure.
What do you or don't you? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I just saw one post for someone who owns a house and they're renting out rooms in a nearby town here.
Okay.
Here's the ad. Electromagnetic sensitivity managed home.
What? What does that mean?
I'm guessing it means like.
My first thought is the house from Better Call Saul.
So I knew someone who claimed to be, it seemed to be if they were in a place where cell phones weren't turned to airplane mode or Wi-Fi was on or whatever,
right,
they would genuinely break out in a rash.
Okay.
Now, I don't know. Maybe not.
Have you seen Better Call Saul?
I have.
So you know what I'm talking about.
But on the inside of their house, this person's house, they had like a special, I don't know if it was like copper in the paint on the walls or whatever it was, but it was supposed to block out a lot of the EMF.
Right.
Stuff. So I don't know if that's what this means, but that's my guess. This beautiful home is located in the town of blank.
There you go, Pete. We didn't say it was Hanover.
It's not. It's not. Two bedrooms available. Asking $1,000 a month plus $200 a month utilities for each room.
$1,000 a month for a room.
Well, $1,200. $200 for utilities. Right. Per room. So another $400 a month in utilities. But whatever. I mean, that's a modern day pricing. No smoking, no vaping, no alcohol.
Hmm. This must be a Mennonite home.
I don't know. Is it in town? It's not. It's like, so I don't.
What, Mennonites, you know, can't live in town? What's the matter with you?
I don't know how you can say no alcohol. I don't know how you can say, like, if you live here, you're not allowed to have a glass of wine.
Well, maybe the owner lives there too, and they're a recovering alcoholic.
When Brianna and I were first looking to move to the city, we looked at a lot of apartment listings, right?
Yeah.
And some of them were pretty clear. Like, you could tell that it was like landlord was living upstairs or, you know, somewhere on the property. And for, you know, religious reasons or whatever, it would say no pork. Right? Like, you couldn't no cook pork. In the house. There was one I remember us seeing where it said no cooking.
No cooking?
Yeah.
You had to take out.
You just had to get, you had to order in.
Oh my goodness.
Entirely.
Can you imagine?
No cooking.
Oh, that'd be so expensive and unhealthy.
And on, well, I mean, well, I depending suppose, on where you.
But no.
You know.
Like, 50 to 70% unhealthy.
Oh, yeah. But so anyways, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you check out our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter or X. See, it's called X, but the URL is still twitter.com.
Is it really?
It is.
Surely he knows how to change that.
Well, yeah. Brianna and I were discussing that earlier today, and she's like, is that something you can't change? And I was like, dude, the man's putting people in space. He can change the URL. Like, it's not.
Even if it's not something that can normally be done,
he'll do it.
He's got the money to hire people or pay people off to make it happen.
He'll do it. Make sure you check out our Patreon page listed below where you can support the show for as little as $1 a month and get some great perks in return. And we have merch.
Yes. The Coca-Cola Man t-shirt is right around the corner.
It's not, because we would get sued out of our asses.
I don't know. People sell like Star Wars t-shirts and crap like that all the time. If you make the image yourself, I think you can get away with it.
You can't have a logo on it.
You can take the logo and alter it. Like, if you put Cola Men using the Coca-Cola logo, and instead of it where it says Coca-Cola.
We couldn't use the font.
Why not?
Because Coke owns that.
The font?
Yeah.
You could find something that's pretty damn close. People do that kind of stuff all the time.
We could just do, yeah. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. Till next time.
Later.